Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and not joined today by Father Doug McKay, but joined by my good friend, Deacon Kevin Potter. Welcome to the studio, Kevin.
Hey, thanks, Ken. Thanks for having me.
And Father's off taking care of some business and couldn't be with us today. So we had Kevin on a while back when we talked about St. Vincent de Paul. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy listening to him today. But first, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. And coming up on Sunday, April the 22nd, is going to be one of our two big fundraisers for the year. We have a golf outing in the fall and then our Wake Up America dinner that we hold each spring. This year, that's going to be on Sunday, April the 22nd. We're going to begin at 1:30 and wrap up around 5:30 out of St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in Malvern. The cost will be $55 per person or $400 for a table of eight, so why not grab seven friends and come on out and join us for the afternoon. We'll break bread together and have a great meal. A couple of speakers as well as a silent auction in order to raise much-needed funds in order to keep this radio apostolate going. Father McKay and I are part of Warehouse Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about our ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Just a reminder, I'll be out at St. Philip Neri in Pennsburg. I think last week I said Pottstown, but it's St. Philip Neri in Pennsburg next Tuesday evening, the 20th. I think it begins at 7 o'clock. So if you're in the area and want to drop in, it'd be great to meet you. So we'd like to begin the show each week with prayer, and we'll start with the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Venerable Matt Talbot being one of the patrons of this show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, this is a one-hour call-in show. We'll fill the hour with our talking, but you're more than welcome to join us. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com, you can get us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. So we started out the beginning of the week in ordinary time, but today being Ash Wednesday, we've now entered the Lenten season on Sunday. If it hadn't been Sunday, it would have been the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. Today, Wednesday, of course, is Ash Wednesday, but if it had been the 14th on any other day, we would be celebrating St. Cyril and Methodius. And that's really it for this week, so a light week in terms of saints. And our plan is to really talk about Ash Wednesday and Lent. So I was blessed this afternoon to head over to my home parish where Kevin's our deacon for a 1:15 service. It wasn't Mass, but a service that included the distribution of ashes. So the church was full of the school kids as well as a whole bunch of adults. And it's interesting, I always talk about Ash Wednesday being one of those days where they give something out, and if we gave something out every day, you know, the churches would always be full, and we actually do. We give out the Eucharist every day. But it seems to be those days like Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday, even though a woman I work with, that she only goes to Mass twice a year, and it's Ash Wednesday and then some other odd day that she goes. But today is Ash Wednesday in the beginning of the 40 days of Lent, and a great time of the year in order to get right with God, to take a look at our lives and where we're at, and maybe try to do some things that we don't normally do, or start new habits, get back to old habits, whatever it is to build up this relationship that we have with God. So I'm actually looking forward to this Lent and some quiet time, and you know, get back to some of the basics, in addition to giving up a few things in order to shed a few pounds. So maybe today, if you want to call in and let us know what you're doing for Lent. Maybe you have something that you do that's out of the ordinary that other people may not have thought of. But what do you do today and for the next 40 days in order to draw closer to God in this Lenten season? But in the meantime, until you call, we thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about the prayers and readings that happen today in church, because there's so much to draw from them. And, you know, the first part of Mass that we often hear in the introduction rite would be the collect. And the collect for today's Mass is actually beautiful and really sets the tone for the next 40 days. So, Kevin, you want to share it with us?
Yeah, sure, Ken. And as we start Lent and on Ash Wednesday, as part of the liturgy, we do not celebrate the penitential rite. We go right into the collect. It's one of those unique days. And as you mentioned, the collect is beautiful. It really sets the tone. It opens up the Mass and it opens up our Lenten season. So thanks for the chance to share this to our listeners. The collect is, "Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen."
And it's beautiful, you know, it's, as you said, Ken, it really does set the tone. You know, it right from the get-go, the beginning of Lent, it's a campaign of Christian service. We're taking a battle against spiritual evils. We're arming ourselves with weapons of self-restraint. All these things that we start the Lenten season with on Ash Wednesday, it's just a beautiful opening to the liturgy, for sure.
Yeah, especially in a culture that we live in, which really pushes anything but self-restraint. You know, it's whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, and not a whole lot of talk about self-restraint. And in the church's eyes, one of the basic forms of that is fasting. And fasting was something that I hadn't done a whole lot of until around this time last year. And we had a guest on, and Lavallee was his last name. He has a bakery up in New England where he makes fasting bread. Nutritional bread that'll actually keep you going for a day. But what I learned from that is when we're able to fast from food and have self-restraint when it comes to food, it also allows us to have self-restraint with so many other areas in our lives. And, you know, it's great to be human, and it's great to have the gifts that God gives us. And he gives us all these desires, whether it's for food or drink or sex or all these things that come natural to us. And when we get into trouble, or when I get into trouble, is when those natural desires become disordered. And, you know, instead of a glass of wine, it's a bottle of wine. Instead of, you know, a right-sized portion of food, it's gluttony and, you know, eat as much as I can until I'm beyond full. And what I found is that when I restrain the food, that some of the other natural instincts that we have, we're able to restrain as well. And really, in our prayer today, that's what we're praying for, is the ability to not only initiate that self-restraint today, but to keep it going over the next 40 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
So, and if you're one that hasn't fasted, again, the internet can be a beautiful thing because of the resources that are out there. It's not something that we necessarily, you know, jump in and we start day one with, you know, just bread and water. Fasting can take all different forms. It can be, you know, things like not eating between meals, maybe not having dessert or giving up sugar or sweets. This fasting can take all different forms. We can fast from television. We can fast from radio. So all these things on any given day that can distract us from God, just by taking a little bit of self-restraint, that time that we might spend in front of the TV or the time we might spend on listening to the radio, although I want you to listen 4 to 6 every day, 800 a.m., but restrain from the other radio and use that time in order to maybe pray or do other sacrificial things, maybe for a family member or strangers, in order to draw closer to God.
Yes, you bring up a great point, Ken. You know, in fasting and in giving things up, we often think of Lent almost in a childlike way. What do I have to give up? Do I have to give up sugars? Do I have to give up sweets, candies, you know, simple things? But really, in giving those things up, there's an opportunity to add to. Mm. You know, by giving those things up, we should also be looking where we can add to our lives. You know, by giving up the television, by giving up the cell phone, by giving up the texting, even for an hour a day, it gives you an opportunity to add to your life. It gives you an opportunity to add prayer to your life. It gives you an opportunity to, you know, as you said, revisit some old things. You know, maybe bring the rosary back into your life. You know, other prayers that, you know, may have gone by the wayside. There's opportunities to add to. So we should always look at not just what we're giving up, but what we're adding.
Right. Yeah, and one of those add to's can even be daily Mass. And again, you don't need to jump in and say, okay, I'm going to go to Mass every day for Lent and try to make 40 days in a row. It'd be a great thing to try, but, you know, start with, I'm going to make Mass, daily Mass tomorrow. And then, you know, when you go to bed Thursday night, I'll try to make daily Mass on Friday. We don't want to set the goal too high and then, you know, come down for a fall, because if you're like me, then come Saturday when you've missed on Friday, you just, well, my lunch shot and I'm done. Now I got to wait till next year. But take it in small increments. If you're not somebody that ever goes to daily Mass, maybe try to, you know, pick one day a week for the next 6 weeks or so. Add daily Mass. If you're not somebody that's frequently goes to confession, especially in this penitential season, like, you know, Deacon Kevin was saying, we don't have the penitential rite in Mass, but we certainly have the opportunities to go to confession if you've been away from that sacrament for a while. Lent is an ideal time to come back and then try to make it a habit. You know, monthly confession is awesome. Weekly confessions even more awesome, but however frequently you can get there, you know. And I go now because of the graces. Sometimes I go and there's not a not that I'm a saint, but some weeks I'm better than others and may not have a whole litany of things to confess. I still want to go to get that grace, you know.
And absolutely,
you know, and that's, you know, what the sacraments are all about, whether it's you know, the Eucharist or confession. It's in order to receive that grace that God wants to pour out on us. So, so after the collect today, there were a couple of choices for readings. And I don't know, Kev, if you want to do either the readings or the gospel, perhaps.
I would suggest the gospel. If you'd like to read the gospel, I can offer some reflections on that.
Sure.
So go ahead.
All right. So today's gospel is taken from the 6th chapter of Matthew. Verses 1 to 6 and 16 to 18. And it's a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. The Gospel of the Lord. And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, a great gospel, especially again to set the tone for Lent, and list a couple of things that we should be doing: fasting and almsgiving. But to do it without being seen, to know that the reward we get is because God sees it, not because our brothers and sisters may see it. And that doesn't mean that we make sure that what we do isn't seen. We can be great witnesses. Saint Francis of Assisi, would say all the time, preach often and sometimes use words. So obviously we do things in public, but when we do these things in particular, Jesus is asking us to maybe not make it such a public spectacle, and the reward will be greater.
Yeah, it is a beautiful gospel, as you said, Ken, and we use it every year on Ash Wednesday, this gospel, and it touches on prayer, fasting, almsgiving, the three things, the three pillars of Lent, so to speak. And as you said, it calls for us to do things in secret, do it in private. And I always find it a little odd. I shared at the prayer service early, Ken heard this before, but I always find it a little odd that we're talking about, Jesus is talking about doing things in secret and private, and yet what do we do today? We put ashes on our forehead, which is a very public act.
Right. And
it's a very public act, and it shows the world that, we're serious about this. So I always kind of chuckle a little bit when I hear this gospel for that reason. But it's really, just a little bit of the history on the ashes. It's a reflection of the church from very early on, when someone was in grave sin after being baptized, they would have to show penance and show public penance, and they did that by wearing hair shirts, and they would put ashes on themselves, and they would do that for 40 days before the Easter Vigil, and they would actually be rebaptized. Well, we don't now, and as we understand it, we recognize you don't need to be rebaptized. We've certainly evolved in that theology quite a bit. But it's from that very early church practice that our practices of Lent come out of. It's a tradition that goes way back in the church. And that's why we wear the ashes, because we all recognize that we're sinners. We all recognize that we need God's mercy, and we all recognize that we need Lent, and we need to make our relationship right with God. And that's what it really is a sign of. It's a sign of humility. Hmm. If you think of the gospel, what Jesus is talking about is doing things humbly, doing them quietly and humbly. And wearing the ashes is also, it's a sign of humility, recognizing that we need God, we need his forgiveness, and we need him in this journey.
Yeah, and so each year on Ash Wednesday we would go and get the ashes, and as you mentioned, with these three pillars, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and almsgiving can take many forms. A lot of parishes will have a rice bowl this time of year. Maybe if you cut back on a meal and contribute what you would spend on it to your parish or to other causes, and just another way of being humble. And I think that's As you mentioned, that's really the key to the spiritual life is humility. And I learned years ago in 12-step rooms with, you know, when it comes to humility, that it, you know, comes from the same root as hummus, you know, and it's that we're of the earth, that you know, and that we're grounded. And but I've also come to see it that it's humility is knowing who we are in relationship to God's creation, whether it's who we are in relationship to God, who we are in relationship to each other, and who we are in relationship to the earth, and in all these relationships that we have, that that we recognize who we are in that relationship and then what our role is, as opposed to somebody that's not so humble and, you know, can be controlling or wants to dominate situations and is the complete opposite of being humble, which I was for a long, long time, you know. And, you know, to finally realize that the whole world doesn't revolve around me and the decisions I make and the thoughts I have is freeing, you know. And I think that in these over these next 40 days, if we look at the relationships that we're in, not just with God, but all of them, and just try to get a purpose in life that only comes from God, that it's in fulfilling that purpose that I think the joy comes. So I think it's beautiful that the church sets aside times like this, the 40 days of Lent, the 4 weeks of Advent in preparation for Christmas, that are really set aside for us to work on these things.
They're very special times, for sure.
Yeah.
Very special.
So is there anything in particular that you do for Lent, Kevin?
For Lent, I tend to more and more focus on the add to, mm-hmm. you know, as I mentioned, the things that may have fallen by the wayside, you know, maybe some of my prayer habits that may, you know, I may have gotten too busy. So I try to focus on the add to's, to, you know, getting back to the daily rosary, getting back to the Divine Mercy Chaplet, you know, those kind of things, just to provide that get that spiritual basis back into my life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, after the hectic Christmas season and things like that, we can kind of get off track a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, in some ways. So it's good to have this period pretty quickly after that, you know, that the church throws us in to, you know, just give us a little reminder of what we need to start paying attention to.
Yeah, especially this year. I mean, we're only 5 weeks
out of
the Christmas season, and we're already
right bang.
And all because of the moon, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because the Easter's based on the full moon and whatever that situation is, and you count back 7 weeks to begin Advent, so, or to begin Lent, rather.
Yeah, and so, ordinary time, too, was very quick. The 5 weeks was, we went right into Mark's Gospel, and that Mark's Gospel starts right away with Jesus' mission.
Right.
So right away, we're starting to see him heal, and, you know, it's very quick.
Yep.
It's very quick.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get some quiet time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was even one of the requirements or part of the rule for the secular Franciscans, of course, is morning prayer and night prayer. And Francis gave the Franciscans all different ways of doing that, including even at an office of the 12 Our Fathers. So you could do 6 in the morning and 6 at night. And so I had gotten away myself from the Liturgy of the Hours.
Mm.
And just this morning, you know, pulled down the volume for Lent. And I'd encourage, you know, listeners, if you've never looked into it, I know Father Gallagher just had a 5-part series on EWTN on the Liturgy of the Hours for the laity. And you can probably either watch it on demand, or a lot of times those series are available on the Internet. But to give it a look, and, you know, the Liturgy of the Hours is not just for clergy.
That's,
you know,
absolutely right.
You know, our priests pray it, and then I know, Kevin, as a deacon, that you're required to pray it. But it's also a beautiful way to join in prayer with people all over the world that are praying the hours. And so that's my ad too for Lent, is to get back in the hours. And probably, you know, I always, when I pray it, I always do morning prayer and evening prayer, night prayer, but I don't do the full blown office of readings. A lot of times I won't include the Psalms, but oftentimes those officer readings, especially during the Lenten season, are really good. You'll have a reading from Scripture, and then it could be a commentary on that Scripture or some other writing by a saint or a pope or somebody in church history, and a great way to open up the readings that are provided in the officer readings as part of the Liturgy of the Hours. And again, it's another one where there's resources online. The book sometimes can be a little bit pricey to purchase, but between apps for phones and iPads and what's available online, you can usually find the Daily Liturgy of the Hours. Was that something that you found? Were you praying that before you became a deacon?
I've actually been praying that for close to 30 some years.
Okay.
And yeah, so I was introduced to that in college.
Okay.
Began praying it then, off and on, more regular than other times. But most recently, last 15 years or so, pretty much praying it regular. And you're right, it's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. It's even though I've been praying it that long, I learn something new every day. The Scriptures just don't get old.
Yeah.
They don't get old. And the beauty of the Liturgy of the Hours, along with the readings we hear at Mass, is it takes us through all the Bible.
Right.
You experience the entire Bible. Other Christian brethren talk about reading Scripture from, beginning to end, but praying the Liturgy of the Hours and hearing the lectionary at Mass, the readings, we experience the entire Bible over a year to 3 year period.
Right.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah. So the next time one of your Protestant brothers or sisters says, that the Catholic Church doesn't emphasize Scripture, we emphasize it more than anything, really, with the opportunities that we have between the different hours of the day and the Mass and what have you. So all of it based in Scripture.
Absolutely.
So it was interesting when you were talking to the kids today at the service about praying in quiet, and just the need for quiet is something that I think, especially in this culture, doesn't exist unless you really seek it out and try to find ways to do that. Are you able to find quiet time on a regular basis?
Very early in the morning.
Yeah.
Very early in the morning.
Yeah.
Is usually when I find my quiet time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so much needed. And I think there's so many people, and I think I've shared this before on the air. I have family members that they just can't be silent. There's either a radio on or a TV on in the background, or they need to be with other people. One in particular, you can always tell when his family's away, because that's when he'll make an invite call for an invite for dinner or something.
Mm-hmm.
And quiet can be difficult, because when you're just left to yourself, if you're not used to doing that, it can be difficult. Maybe we'll pick up with that when we come back. So we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to go ahead and take a short break. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for his service. She is so connected to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Again, your host, Ken Johnston, and I'm joined today by my friend, Deacon Kevin Potter. Father McKay had some business to take care of and couldn't be with us today. Before we get back to the show, just a reminder that we do have a presence on Facebook, both In His Sign Catholic Radio and our show in particular, Saints and Sinners on In His Sign. Come out and like us, and we'll keep you up to date as to what's going on here at the radio station. Also, if you'd like to make a donation to Our House Ministries, especially help with sponsoring a show or two, you can go out to our website at ourhouseministries.org and look for the donate page. You can click on there to sponsor one show or a month of shows. It'd be great to have you as a sponsor. We mention you by name. Perhaps you want to offer that up for a priest in your parish or a family member. Or maybe you have a business and you want a little advertising, we can certainly take care of that for you as well. Also, like to keep you up to date on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. You can catch Father McKay and I every Tuesday in Grays Ferry in the annex building to St. Gabriel's Parish. The building's on the corner of 30th and Dickinson. And the entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood. Come on up to the third floor on Tuesdays at 6 for a short adoration period, followed by Mass and our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. We have a new unit in Norristown. They get together on the 2nd and 4th Saturdays at St. Patrick's. They go to the 4 p.m. Vigil Mass, and then there's a meeting in the school across the way. Their next meeting is going to be on February the 24th. I had a call from Peggy today as a result of hearing it here on In His Sign. And she'll be getting in touch with Paul and making that meeting on the 24th. We also have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They get together at 7 o'clock on the 1st and 3rd Tuesday of the month. So they just got together this week, so their next meeting will be on Tuesday the 20th. And the unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the 2nd Monday of the month. They just met this week as well, so they won't be getting together again until March, March the 12th, where they start at 6:15. With the rosary in the Adoration Chapel, followed by a Calyx meeting in the brick building across the lawn from the chapel. We also have a meeting or a unit in Wilmington, Delaware. They get together every Wednesday, so they'll be meeting tonight with 6:15 Mass at St. Matthew's, followed by a Calyx meeting. You can get the Delaware information at calixde.org. That's calixde.org. And for all the Philadelphia Calyx information, please visit phillycalyx.com. I'm going to be joined today at 5 o'clock by Stephen Wolf, and he's the vice postulator for this servant of God, Father Edward Flanagan, who you would know as the founder of Boys Town. So we'll be talking about Father Flanagan and his cause for canonization in the 5 o'clock hour today. So again, my guest today is Deacon Kevin Potter, and we've been talking about Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season. And before we went to the break, we were talking about the need for silence. And how hard it can be for many people to get used to silence, especially when we're left to ourselves and we got to think about ourselves and we have to think. Period. I think we spend so much time in our lives looking for distractions just so we don't have to do that. And I know I was guilty of that for a long time, because whenever I thought about who I was and what I was doing and the things I had done, it was either find a distraction or go insane. And it really can be difficult to do, but each week, especially with this show, Saints and Sinners, one of the common things the common themes that you see in the life of a saint is that self-reflection, that they spend time each day in prayer, in quiet. And it goes back to that relationship thing, I think, and the humility of figuring out who they are and who they are in relationship to God, and trying to discern, you know, what God wants them to do. And if we're not silent, if we don't listen for God, we may miss it. And I love the reading in Kings. It usually comes around the July time frame, I think, or beginning of August, where Elijah's in the cave, and the voice doesn't come in a thunder, or it doesn't come in a hurricane or a fire, that it comes in a small whispering sound. And if we're not quiet, it's real easy to miss that whispering sound, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, there's so many scenes in Scripture where Jesus, in his relationship with his Father, he went away. Mm-hmm. He went away. He would detach from people. He would go, and he went into the garden, obviously, at Gethsemane. But even before that, there's a lot of scenes in Scripture where even Jesus knew he had to get away from the distractions. And he would get away from the people and the crowds, and he would just go spend quiet time with his Father. Mm. He needed that time. He needed to build that relationship, again, in his humility, his example of humility, to spend time with his Father in prayer, and to develop that relationship and continue that in his ministry to his people. We're not good to other people if we don't take care of that.
Right. There's two thoughts that came to mind there. One is, I use that for recruiting for retreats. You know, I say, you know, if you ever look at Scripture and see how often Jesus goes off by himself, and he was God.
Yeah.
You know, if you would think that as being divine, that he already have all the answers. And he goes, God has all the answers. But yet he still had to go off by himself and commune with his Father in prayer. And if Jesus Christ had to do it, how much more do we as human beings need to set that time aside, hopefully on a daily basis, but even if we can get a chunk of it and make a retreat from time to time, is an awesome way to experience that silence, at least on some retreats. Some of them, I think, can get pretty noisy, but hopefully, you know, at some point over the course of that weekend to have that silent time. And even if you're lucky like I was a few years back to be able to do an 8-day silent retreat, which was really incredible. And I don't recommend it for somebody that's never been on a retreat at all, because a weekend retreat with restraint when it comes to silence can be difficult enough if you've never done it. But to spend 8 days in silence, it was a great learning experience. It was probably one of the best experiences I ever had in my life. But it was something, there's no way I could have done it before the time that I had done it. I was just ready for it when it came. And I was able to carve that time out and do that silent retreat. And again, I learned more about myself than anything during that week. And it was in that learning that you're then able to try and figure out what God wants you to do. The other thing that you mentioned was interesting, and something that I avoided for years, and that's the idea that we have to be well before we can help anybody else. And so, like you said in Scripture, Jesus would go off by himself for some period of time and pray with his Father, get rejuvenated. I'm sure his days were long, and I'm sure he was tired. And even if it was just to get a respite and get away and re-energize. But I can't think of the book that I had picked up, but it was actually referred to in another book on the mystical life that talked about the need for us to fill our reservoirs with prayer before we even attempt to do God's work. And I always did it the other way around. I would just jump into things and run 100 miles an hour and then say to God at the end of the day, you know what, I'm really exhausted, I don't have time to pray, but, you know, my whole day was a prayer. I did all that for you. And in hindsight, you know, I did some good stuff, but it was all on what I thought and what I thought was right to do and how I thought it had to be done, with no thought to what God really wanted me to do in those situations. And I think that that carries over into the gospel where, you know, when actions are great, especially in the time of Lent where we're going to maybe add something and do things for others, maybe distribute a meal at a soup kitchen or, take clothes to the homeless, whatever it is that that you may do. But it's it can be another distraction, if you will, that it's another way to avoid the silence and avoid looking at ourselves and just spending time with God. And I know for a long time that I would say that my prayer is an action, you know, and it's okay. I mean, I did some pretty good stuff, but I also at the end of the day don't know if that's really what God had wanted me to do. And I think when we take time out and pray, like you said, in the morning when you get that quiet time and maybe spend time with God and think about what you're going to do that day. But I think sometimes equally important can be at the end of the day to look back over the course of our day and see what we've done and failed to do. And
absolutely.
You know, and where we can try better the next day.
Right. You know. Right. I often think of the analogy, you know, for those of us who have flown, I'm sure you've flown, when you get on the airplane, the steward or stewardess always gives the speech of what to do. And if the oxygen mask drops, put it on yourself first before the child. So prayer is almost like that. You have to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. So
yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And actually had a stewardess one time on Southwest. I think they compete on who can be the most the funniest when they do those things. And it was one with a woman, or the stewardess is saying that, when the oxygen mask, you know, take care of yourself first and then help your child. And if you have multiple children, I don't know how you pick, but I would pick the smartest one first. But anyway, you're absolutely right. If we don't take care of ourselves, we're absolutely no good to others.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and we used to say it a lot in 12-step rooms, you can't give away what you don't have. And, you know, again, I can be guilty of this, of reading something and all of a sudden thinking you're the expert and now you can tell everybody else how to do something. But
sure.
if I'm not practicing it myself, not only is it shallow and isn't going to help somebody, but people see through us. I mean, they know when we're, you know, walking the walk or talking the talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, again, going back to Francis of Assisi, you know, practice what you preach, you know, and preach by doing, not by saying.
Right,
you know?
Right. One of the things with the quiet time we were talking at the break, Ken, too, is that especially in this culture, and I'm as guilty as anyone with this, the constant electronics and the cell phones and the distractions, we just can't seem to break ourselves away from those things at times. And, you know, it's some people may not to do this, but, you know, be able to do this. But one thing I try to do throughout the year is I try to turn my cell phone off on Sundays and just have, you know, make Sunday the day of rest. And that's hard.
Mm.
That's hard. And I know folks have kids and they need to be in touch and things of that nature. But, you know, I would suggest, you know, even for an hour, turn it off for an hour on a Sunday,
yeah.
You know, and just, and not just for Mass,
right.
You know,
yeah, right.
turn
right.
it off another hour.
Right. Yep.
You know, as you said, you know, incremental little things that you can do to get that quiet time.
Mm.
Our pastor always says every year at Lent, he does not listen to car radio.
Right.
So as he's driving around all day long, he's hearing all kinds of noises from the car that he wasn't used to hearing.
Right.
And he wonders what he has to get fixed. But but there's another way, just turning off the radio in the car, you know, even one day a week, you know,
right.
Not every day of the week or not all the time. But, you know, these little things to just provide that quiet time that we all desperately need just as human beings.
Mm. Absolutely. We still got about 15 minutes left. We've been talking about what we're doing this Lent. What are you doing this Lent? Why don't you give us a call? The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or maybe you're listening to us over the internet, especially via our website at inhissign.com. You can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-4673. 2484. So, really talked a lot about Ash Wednesday and what we're going to be doing for the Lenten season. One of the things that most parishes offer, and you may want to take them up on, is the Stations of the Cross. And a wonderful practice, great to do it in community, in church, something that you can do by yourself as well. And I think it comes from a tradition like Ash Wednesday, where a lot of people used to try to get to Jerusalem, and then eventually they would, rather than have to get there and do the way of the cross, they would create plaques or statues or what have you in order to do the Stations of the Cross. And I think there's a number of saints. The one that comes to mind is Alphonsus Liguori, you know, has a set of prayers for it. But again, that's one of these things that's that'll be offered in most parishes over the next 6 weeks that folks may want to make themselves available for. You know.
Yep, absolutely. That's another great add too, for sure.
Yeah. And Kevin was asking over the break how long I've been doing this show, and it's going on 2 years. It'll be 2 years next month. And because we have to look at the saints each week and, you know, get some details on their lives and what they were known for and why they were saints, one of the biggest things we find after that, the prayer life that they had, is that they would spend a lot of time thinking about the Passion. Francis of Assisi in particular, to the point where he would end up with a stigmata before he died. But many of our saints would pray and meditate on the Passion. And I think if we do that and when we do that, you can't help but be in awe of what God has done for us, to send his son to die the way he did, to take on, you know, the sins of all the world, not just up to that point, but, you know, all the way up till now and until he comes again, that in that in those hours, what he went through was just incredible, and that he loved us that much that he would do it. And like Father McKay says all the time, you know, a father wouldn't send his son to do that for a pack of animals, but he would certainly do, you know, send his son to do that for his children. And so that's, you know, one of the things I recommend. I actually got it as penance one time, was to meditate on the crucifix for 15 minutes. And a lot of times we have them in our houses. You may have it when you walk in. You may have one in your bedroom. And maybe it's one of those things that we take for granted just because we pass it all the time. But to stop and take, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes and really look at that crucifix and see what Jesus did for us. And maybe that can grow into, you know, a practice of the Stations of the Cross, because it wasn't an easy thing, you know, from the time he's captured or taken in from the garden, you know, through his crucifixion, was really, a lot of this stuff was barbaric. I mean, you look at what was done to him. But again, we're able to take some time and meditate on that, and not wait until the Triduum at the end of Lent, but to maybe start doing that now in preparation.
Yeah, a great way to do that is the Divine Mercy Chaplet. For those who are familiar with that, praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet on rosary beads is only takes about 5 minutes, but it draws you into, you know, for the sake of his sorrowful Passion, and just you're meditating on the Passion of Christ throughout that whole prayer. Yeah. So that would be another thing that I would recommend for folks also.
Very good. And a lot of people would try to pray it in a 3 o'clock hour, but certainly any time is a good time. It's 3 o'clock somewhere, right?
That's right.
You know? So, so maybe pick that up as a practice during this Lent. You know, St. Faustina, you know, great story where she was concerned, and it was only through the, I think, divine providence that we actually got to know her now. Pope St. John Paul II certainly knew a lot about her, being from Poland and having canonized her, or being there when she was canonized. But Father Michael Gately, you know, tells a story about how her writings were almost banned, you know, because they had a poor translation. And when John the 23rd took over, it was actually around the same time that the Curia or somebody was recommending a ban on Faustina's writings. And so they put this document at the bottom of the stack that John the 23rd would look at when he took office. And they figured by the time he got to that, that he would just rubber stamp it and be done with it. And the story goes that when John the 23rd sat down at his desk, he took that pile and flipped it upside down. So instead of being the last thing that he looked at, it was the first thing that he looked at. And when he looked at it, he said, you know, I think we need to relook at this before we, you know, just write it off. And it turned out it was a bad, you know, some of it was badly translated. And when they got the good translation, you know, what a beautiful thing that the Divine Mercy Chaplet is, and that Divine Mercy Sunday that a lot of folks are able to celebrate. One of those things I'm hoping now that you're our deacon that you'll push for in our parish.
I'm actually giving a presentation on the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We're having a poor man's supper and prayer series every Tuesday, and several of us are giving presentations. So one of the presentations I will be giving is on the Divine Mercy Chaplet to give people and just a little bit more awareness that it's out there and it's it's very effective.
Because even Faustina herself, I think when she was getting it, you know, she was saying, but Lord, we already have the Feast of Mercy on the Sunday after Easter. And, you know, the Lord responded and said, yeah, but nobody knows about it.
Right.
You know? And it's how God raises up these saints. It's like just in the nick of time. You know, with her, it was just prior to World War II, but the Word, you know, really didn't come out until after John Paul II emphasized the work that she had done and eventually would lead to her canonization.
You mentioned Father Michael Gately. Also, he did 33 days of Morning Glory, right?
Right.
And the consecration and things like that. There is a follow-on onto that also that was shared with me, 33 days of Divine Mercy.
Right.
So that's going to be one of my add-tos this Lent, is to participate in that and delve more into the Divine Mercy of Jesus Christ and our Savior.
Yeah, because God knows, like I said, you know, the mercy that He has shown me, and if He can if He can do for me what He's done, He can do it for anybody if we just ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that so many times we have an attitude that, you know, maybe we've done so much wrong, that what we've done is irreparable, that we, you know, we can never have a relationship with God. And trust me, if I can somehow manage to do it, anybody can. And this is the season for that. You know, if you've been away from the church, now's the ideal time to come back in this Lenten season and lead your way up to maybe full communion again at Easter. Actually knew a guy, and I this one I wouldn't recommend, but somebody that abstained from communion for all of Lent, and then he waited until, you know, he went from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday without receiving communion.
Wow.
He would do a spiritual communion, and I have an opinion both ways. I think it's awesome to give up that grace, maybe, and if that's something that you really want to give up for Lent. I'm reluctant to give up the grace that goes along with it, you know. But again, there's so many things that we can do, and each is particular to an individual person and where they are in life, their state in life, whether they're working or retired or married or single. So many opportunities for things that we can do during this Lenten season. But the number one thing, if you're away, now's the time to come back. Hopefully you're the parish. I know my own parish would welcome you with open arms, especially to the sacrament of reconciliation and reconcile you with God and with the church. And you know, the graces that stem from that are innumerable. You know, you just can't count on hands, toes, or anything else, the graces that God wants to lavish upon us when we make that move.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I know in my own case, it doesn't take a whole lot on our part. I love the picture that you sometimes see of Jesus with the door, and it's slightly just open a little bit. And if you look real close, you'll notice that there's no doorknob on the outside. You know, God's not going to open that door. You need to open it. But what I found is you only need to open it a crack. You know, if we let God in, if we let Jesus Christ in just a little bit, the wonders he can do with us are just incredible.
For sure.
You know, and the some of the work that I get to do, especially working with, you know, people that are in recovery from addiction, you know, I've met what society will probably call the worst of the worst, you know, the real dregs of society that nobody would want anything to do with. And to see some of them open that door just a little bit and go on to lead productive lives or go on to die some of the most incredible deaths you've ever had, that, you know, because of what they had done, they had destroyed their body so much that they really couldn't recover physically. But to see them reconcile with God and be prepared to die and go knowing that they were going to heaven,
right?
You know, is just an awesome thing. So, before we go today, again, my guest has been Deacon Kevin Potter. We've been talking about Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season, and we opened the show with the collect and the gospel from today's Mass. And like the collect, there's also the prayer after communion and the prayer over the people that we concluded with today that are beautiful as well. I think Kevin wants to share them with us.
Yeah, I'll share the prayer over the people that is the sending prayer for sending us out into Lent. Pour out a spirit of compunction, O God, on those who bow before your majesty, and by your mercy may they merit the rewards you promise to those who do penance. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. And you know, just the one word there, penance. I think a lot of times people don't always necessarily know what penance is. So when we go to confession, of course, you know, a priest will give us penance, and a lot of times it could be you know, a couple of Our Fathers, a couple of Hail Marys, or whatever prayers they want to give us. But in this Lenten season, there's also many other forms of penance that we can do, right?
Oh, for sure.
And that would include things like not watching TV or fasting or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is that the folks want to do.
Penance brings us back to God.
Yeah.
Anything that brings us back to God.
Perfect. Yeah. That's great answer. Great answer. So whether it's more time in prayer, additional daily Mass, fasting from food or television or radio, except for that 4 to 6 hour, Monday through Friday, you know, have at it. And, you know, our prayer for you is that that this Lent be the best Lent that you've ever had, that it in the next 40 days that you draw closer to God as we prepare for the greatest feast day in the life of the church on Easter Sunday. So I want to thank Kevin for taking time out of his busy schedule. He had a number of things to do, not only his daytime job, but also his work as a deacon in our parish at St. Luke's in Glenside. So thanks, Kevin, for coming out and spending an hour with us. We appreciate it.
Especially appreciate being here.
And like I said, I'm going to be joined in the next hour by Stephen Wolf, and we're going to be talking about Father Edward Flanagan, the founder of Boys Town, and his canonization process. So don't go away. We're coming right back.